Praise God. Would you believe me if I told you that she has just turned 85 years of age? She's still a spring chicken, eh? Praise God. Would you turn your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 2? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When I started looking at this verse just a few months ago, I felt challenged to study this verse and to apply it as I always do. I never, and I'm sure your pastor is the same, I never stand up and preach the Word of God until I have applied it in my own life. It's got to be a living reality for me before I can bring it to a congregation. That's always been my principle and my thought, and God has honored it. And there have been times when I haven't wanted to preach because I have not faced up to that particular word. And so I've had to face up to that word, then I feel released to bring it. And this is one of those. You know, we have read this verse so many times. Everybody probably in this auditorium, you're very familiar with this verse. The verse that Paul wrote out of experience. But when you consider the reason why he said this, the reason why he made this huge statement is very, very significant. And I was just thinking as I was enjoying the service this morning, we have made some incredible statements here this morning. And you have been, as Betty said, enthusiastically taking part and entering in. And it's just been an amazing, wonderful experience for us. And we've been declaring some incredible facts this morning, some incredible truths, and in Christ alone and so on. And then the Apostles' Creed. I cannot remember the last time that I ever heard the Apostles' Creed used in a church, and no less a Pentecostal church. Wonderful. So we've made those declarations. But here's a declaration I feel challenged to bring you this morning. To ask you with me if we can really look at this verse. Because Paul said it with conviction. And I believe that if every one of us can look at this verse this morning and can speak it out and declare it from the conviction of our hearts, we will leave this place changed. Really, really true. Changed. What does Paul say? He says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I hope that's okay with everybody. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul is speaking to the Galatian church. And he had found some hypocrisy in that church. And there were false brethren also who were called Judaizers. And they were insisting that a part of the Old Testament law should be required of the new converts for them to receive the New Testament gospel of salvation through faith in Christ. Now, this is nothing new, of course, because the church has been constantly accused of hypocrisy. I'm sure you've heard many times people say, oh, I don't go to church because there's so much hypocrisy there. And they use it as an excuse for their own behavior and for their own slackness. Sadly, there has been hypocrisy in the church. Sadly, there have been instances where the Lord has been let down and the standard has been just dropped, and people are living a lie. They're living hypocritically. There are also false brethren in the church today. I'm sure there's no false brethren here this morning. But if there are, the Holy Spirit is after you. Let me just warn you right now. I remember some years ago, we had a guy in our church, no names, no court martials, but he became so full of himself and full of his own spiritual standing, and he met up with a mate from another church, one of my friend's churches, and they got to the stage where they decided that God had commissioned them. They decided that God had commissioned them to go round and visit all the churches where the Holy Spirit was moving in the city of Perth, and to check them out and to bring correction to the churches that in their consideration were not preaching the Word of God, were not maintaining the standard of the gospel, and so on and so forth. False brethren. They didn't last long, but they caused a lot of confusion wherever they went. When Betty and I were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were Baptist ministers in those days. We've got quite a history, you see. When people ask me, what are you? I say, I'm a Sally Baptocostal. Because we were Salvation Army officers for 13 years after we married. And then the Lord led us into the Baptist ministry, and it's a long story and you don't want to hear it this morning. And then we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Baptists gave us the word of, you know, the order to go. So we've been sacked from two churches. But when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was such a dramatic and wonderful experience in the Gospel Lighthouse Church in Armagh Street, Victoria Park, back in 1968. A lot of you people didn't have eyelids in those days. But my goodness, our lives changed. Our marriage went up to another level. Our ministry just exploded, and God just did so. Anyway, I was carpeted by the leaders of the Baptist Church, who shall remain nameless. Bless their hearts. And they tried to persuade me that this was not right, that traditionally, evangelically, you know, it was for those days. It was for the Book of Acts, and it wasn't for today, and so on. And finally, I had to say to these two gentlemen, one of them was the president of the Baptist Union, and he was also the principal of the Bible College. And I had to say to him, look, with all due respect, brethren, you can argue me under the table with your Greek and your Hebrew and all of your knowledge, and I have respect for that. But I've had an experience, and there is no way that I'm going to deny that experience, that I'm going to step back from it, because it has changed my ministry. It's changed my life. It's changed our marriage. We never had a bad marriage. Don't misunderstand me. But it just brought our marriage up to another level. And they just backed off. They said, oh, well, you know, if you've had an experience, you're claiming an experience, we're not going to challenge that. But, you know, they were well-meaning, but they were false brethren in that sense. And then before I left the office, one of them said, do you know Pastor, and used a name. And I said, yes, he's the Four Square minister down at Busselton. He said, he's my uncle. And he said, he was a real, real man of the world. He drank heavily. He gambled. He was a farmer. And he had plenty of money. But it just did him no good. But he got under the gospel in the Four Square Church in Busselton. And he got saved. I said, oh, really? And then he said, he came up to Perth and went to the Life Bible College, which was a Bible college ran by the Four Square Church in those days. And he said he was ordained as a pastor, and he's now the pastor of the Busselton Four Square Church. So it worked for his uncle, but it wasn't supposed to work for me. You know, it just, you can be so bound by tradition. And that can be in the order of being false brethren, because God's word has brought liberty to us, and we're enjoying that. So let's avoid any kind of hypocrisy. Let's be aware that there will always be false brethren who will try and come in and sow seeds of discord and whatever to try and hinder what God is preparing to do. Well, in a moment, let's go to verse 16. In verse 16, Paul explains that this teaching of being justified by faith in Jesus Christ is an established principle that they were all aware of. This is what he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. He's speaking to them and saying, you've already had the experience. You know, as we know, that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. What are you doing trying to introduce elements of the law in order for the new converts to become accepted into the family of God? It just didn't ring true with him. And so then we come to his testimony. He says in verse 19, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." I died to the law, he says, that I might live to God. The word died or dead, of course, you don't need me to explain it to you. It means no longer living, deprived of life. But the last definition by the dictionary, it says to be spiritually dead. Just the dictionary says that. To be spiritually dead. All right. So until we know Christ, we are spiritually dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verses 1 to 10. Again, scriptures that we know and we're familiar with. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God... I've got that underlined in my Bible. But God, How many of us here this morning have had a "but God" experience? You know, in the middle of when everything was seemed to be confusing and going wrong, but God shows you the way. He intervenes. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace have you been saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, what a beautiful, beautiful description of the spiritual experience that God has given to us. He has given us life. He's raised us from the dead, so to speak. He's caused us to live together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and sitting together with him in high places, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, nothing of the law, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We have a passage in 1 Timothy 5:3-6. Don't bother turning to it now, but Timothy there is speaking about honoring widows and how the children and grandchildren of widows should learn piety at home, that is, learn reverence for God and respect for their parents at home, and that they should look after the widow in repayment for her care of them. And of course, this is dependent upon the widow living a life that reflects the grace and glory of God. But then the next verse, in verse 6, it says, on the other hand, she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. That's final. She is dead while she lives. And that word pleasure can be translated to indulgence or whatever. But a life outside of Christ, and she is dead while she lives. That's the experience that the Bible talks about. And so it's important for us to be able to distinguish between life and death, and to know that our experience is truly life, that we are alive in Christ and that Jesus is alive in us. We used to sing this, a chorus based on this verse. It's no longer I that liveth, how many know it? But Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives, he lives. Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Okay, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in within me. And back in our text passage, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. What an incredible statement. The Amplified says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. The Message puts it similarly. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. So this word crucified really has a specific meaning. It means to put to death by nailing or binding the hands and feet to a cross. It means to treat with gross injustice, to persecute, to torment or torture. And it also means to subdue passions and sin, etc. That also is a dictionary definition. So when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, it means I have put me to death, my old man. And the scripture talks about the old man. And I've always insisted that my boys and my children should never call me the old man. I've never liked it at all. But the old man that we're talking about here is the old self. And that has to be crucified. That has to be put to death. And constantly we have to be aware of the need to put to death, put to death, put to death. It would be nice if it was a once-for-all experience, wouldn't it? But we are constantly under pressure in these areas, and so we need to put to death the works of the flesh. So when Jesus was crucified, he was separated from the world through crucifixion. He was separated from the world, and he was insensitive to all of the surroundings of the world. Once he was dead, he was insensitive to the world. And if we're going to be crucified with Christ, it means that we are going to identify with him and be separate from the world. We're going to be insensitive to the influences of the world. We're going to be insensitive to all the innuendos that come. And the majority of it comes through media. I mean, it used to be, you know, newspapers and books and things. But with the onset of the television and all of the mass media things, there's so much that is out there. And how much can you look at on television that is edifying to your soul and to your spirit? And Paul talks about necessary edification in Ephesians. And I'm always looking for necessary edification. I need edification. And I don't need the stuff of the world to edify my soul and my spirit. And so it's to be crucified with Christ means that I'm so identified with him that the world has no effect on me. I am not drawn by any of the world's influences at all. I am just set on glorifying him and him alone. I wonder this morning, are we at that place where we are dead to the world? Where we are dead to sin, literally and really, where we are powering on in our walk with God. You know, by listening to you all this morning and your singing and your statements of faith and so on, I could very well say, well, I don't need to preach this message here this morning. But I believe God laid it upon my heart to preach this message, to bring this challenge to us all. And even though I have faced this, I still face it. I still face it because I'm still a red-blooded man like any man here this morning, and I'm still susceptible to those things that would influence me. And I have to take a stand all the time. So here we are. Let's ask ourselves a real question. Are we at that place? Because at the end of this message, I'm going to ask that we make this declaration and that we don't just repeat it, but that we make this declaration from the conviction in our hearts. And if we can't make this declaration, then I want to pray for us that whoever can't do that will be able to just surrender and say, Lord, I want to know that experience. I want to know that death experience in my life. I want to know that I am crucified with Christ. I do want to know that you are alive in me. And in very truth, And so I pray that we will really face it. Are we at that place? Can we truthfully and confidently say, I am crucified with Christ? Let's go to Romans, please. Romans chapter 6. And I want to read these 14 verses. I know it's reading a lot of scripture, but it won't hurt us, will it? And the heading above this chapter in my Bible says, Dead to sin, alive to God. And this is what it's all about. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. There in that passage, it's alluded to our baptism, our water baptism, being symbolizing our death and resurrection with Christ. And it's exciting that you're going to have a baptismal service today. That's wonderful. And it's so, so beautiful. Betty and I remember the night as Salvation Army officers when we were baptized in water in the Hyde Street Assemblies of God in about 19... I don't know, so long ago, but it was the middle of winter, and the thermos had broken down, and so they couldn't heat the water, and man, it was cold. But you know, because we were obedient and went through the waters of baptism, and we didn't understand totally then like we understand now, the significance of it all, but we did enter into a new level with the Lord, a new experience, a new blessing. And we have always said it because we did it together, we've done everything together, it brought our marriage up to another level again. And then when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we had that experience again that I've already told you about. And it was so special and so precious. But you know, when you think of it, being buried with him in baptism and then rising again to newness of life with Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful symbol. It's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful thing to do and to know that that's the experience. But, you know, sometimes we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Sometimes we have to be renewed because we've let our guard down. We've become slack in some ways. We haven't been reading and praying as we ought. We've been so busy and so on. And things have crept in. And the old man and the old selfishness and the poor me thing begins to take hold. And God wants us to be free of that. Totally and absolutely free. Oh, I remember a camp that we had down south many, many years ago, and a dear brother, Pastor Norm Armstrong from Sydney, he's just recently passed away, and he was at the grand old age of nearly 100, I believe, but God did some incredible things through his ministry. We had a lady in our church at that time, a young lady, young married lady with two or three children. But she was always sick, and she was always upset and very emotional and so on. and seemed like she was very self-centered and selfish and so on. And it was a real struggle to try and keep her happy. And when we went to camp, she got hold of Pastor Norm Armstrong and she began to pour out her poor me thing and so on, and trying to get some help from him. And he just stopped her at one stage and he said, "Sister, you've got one problem. You're not dead yet." And that just shook her so badly. It really did. She didn't understand that all of this was coming from herself. It was coming from her sinful self. And it wasn't coming from the Lord. She was acting it, but it wasn't working. And so she had to understand that she wasn't dead. And I pray that every one of you this morning are really dead. I really pray that you're dead. And if you're dead, then you'll be enjoying the experience that you've been singing about this morning and you've been praising God for this morning. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, if we died with Christ, verse 6, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. And the verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." Oh, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We're not under law, but we're under grace. Now I want you to come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 to 27. And we have some very, very well-known scriptures here. But I believe the Lord wants to highlight this to us this morning so that we'll become more and more aware of our walk with God and how necessary it is for us to experience the crucified life with Christ. Do you not know? Verse 24 of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul says this is the way that we have to do it. If Paul had to discipline his body, how much more should we need to discipline our body? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself am a castaway. Oh, folks, nobody likes discipline, do we? Sometimes we flinch at the chastening of the Lord. When the Lord disciplines us, it's not usually nice, but it's for our good. It's always for our good. And so it is for our good if we will take the attitude of Paul and say, I'm going to discipline my body. I'm going to discipline those appetites in my body. I am not going to give in to them. I'm going to live. I'm going to live as Christ lived. Because Christ lives in me, I'm going to live that way. I'm not going to give in to the temptations and the testings of the devil. Jesus went through 40 days and 40 nights of testing in the wilderness. He knows what it is to be tested and tempted and tried, but he also knows what it is to return in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he wants us to live on in the power of the Spirit and know that we are able by the grace of God and by the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit to discipline our bodies. It's one thing to discipline your children. It's one thing to discipline other people and say what they should do. But it's another thing for us to discipline our own selves and bring it into subjection. Okay, one more scripture. Go back to chapter 6 now of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 18 to 20. The Apostle Paul has to really speak very strongly about sexual immorality in the Corinthian church. And of course, it's at a very high level in our communities today. We're under such pressure. Our young people particularly are under such pressure. And it's so important for us to hear the Word of God. The Bible says, flee sexual immorality. That's what it means to discipline your body. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee it from it. Rather, every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now, the next truth is one that we so often forget. And do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that again, folks. We've known that. We've read that scripture. We know it so well. But how much weight do we put on it? How much do we consider it in our everyday life? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So anything that I take part in, anything that I consider, anything that I get involved in is a sin against my body and against the one who indwells my body. Jesus is alive in us. That's what Paul said. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Jesus is alive in me. And so Jesus is observing everything that I do. He is affected. The Holy Spirit abides in us. It's our body is his temple, so he is affected by everything that we do. We've been affected by a young man who had a call of God on his life and who let his guard down, became involved with another lady. Both couples were in the leadership of the church. Sadly, we talk about hypocrisy in the church. And they are convinced that they're doing God's will. They're going to another church. I contacted the pastor of the church and I said, I want to make you aware, because days gone by when I was in charge of a church, and we had a real fraternity amongst us, as our brother mentioned, the Perth Charismatic Ministers Fellowship. If I had somebody come to my church that I knew was in another friend's church, I would ring him up on Monday morning and say, hey, so-and-so was in my church this morning. Is everything all right with him or them? And so that's always been a real principle with us. So I rang this, I sent a message to this couple actually, an email, and they just responded in a very, very surprising way, well, thanks for letting us know, but we won't get involved. We'll just pray that God will speak to them through his word as they sit under the word of God and so on. And I just was gobsmacked. I just really was gobsmacked. Because here is a couple who believe they're doing God's will, and yet they've broken two homes, broken two marriages, and now they feel like they're doing God's will by living together and causing all that concern. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? But I'm saying all that to say, I wonder how Jesus feels about that. I wonder how the Holy Spirit felt about that when they started to get involved in that relationship. The scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. How easy it is to grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he lives within us, Jesus is alive in us. Oh, how important it is, how essential it is for us to live that way. To live with him in charge and with the Holy Spirit leading us instead of the old man dictating what our future is going to be and what our actions are going to be. And the Bible closes that passage, says, in the closing part of that passage, it says, therefore, glorify God in your body. For you were bought at a price. Yes, and we've already celebrated that price this morning in the communion service. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise God. I'm sure that every one of you gathered here this morning want to do that. You want to glorify God in your body and in your soul and spirit. I'm sure you do. In order to do that, are you totally and completely aware of the fact that your body is a sacred place for the Holy Spirit to dwell? That your body is also the place where Jesus lives his life in you and through you. And if we understand that, I believe it will bring us into a new place, even this morning. I want to get closer to the Lord this morning. I want to keep growing in him. He's not finished with me yet. And he's not finished with you yet. I've just turned 83 in August. I'm just a young fellow, you know, compared to somebody else. But I'm still learning. I'm still teachable. I still want to radiate the glory of God. I want people to know that Jesus is alive in me. I wear this cross now. It was given to me. It only cost about a dollar for them to be mass produced. And a friend of mine, I saw him with it, and I said, oh, I like your cross. So he gave me a bundle of them, and I've been handing them around too. But it's amazing how this cross, as big and obvious as it is, draws attraction, draws attention, I should say. And I even had a lady in the shopping center the other day come past, and she just gently smiled and she said, I like your cross. But I want Jesus to shine through my very countenance. I want Jesus to be glorified in my body, whatever that means, to whatever extent. And I want him to be glorified above all. And I know that you want that too. So, dear friends, I'm going to pray in a moment. But I want you to really face this challenge, would you? Face this challenge. Am I able to say with conviction, yes, I am crucified with Christ? Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the power of the Son of God who loved me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, whom you changed and transformed from a murderous hoodlum to a great man of God who spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and who wrote down his personal experience. And it's that personal experience in Galatians 2:20, Lord, that we are pondering right now. And we ask you, Father, to clear away any junk from our minds, any refuse of the past, even any traditional stuff, Lord, that is not according to your will and that is not inspired by your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we ask, as Paul asked in another passage, that you cleanse us from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Lord, we want to come to that place where we can make that declaration this morning. Holy Spirit, touch us afresh right now. Deal with anything in our lives that is necessary to be dealt with. Oh God, I'm sensing that there are a few folks in this meeting this morning who are secretly struggling with some issues. And nobody knows those issues but you. And you're putting on a brave face as much as you can, and you're trying to give everybody the impression that it's okay. I'm living for God. I'm serving God. Everything's okay. But it's not. You're having some struggles. I want to pray for you right now. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, because I believe that you know who you are. The Holy Spirit has not revealed this to me just for the sake of it. Dear Lord, I pray for these dear ones that are struggling with little issues personally that are not known to anyone else. God, I just pray that you deal with those situations right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that they will be covered by the blood of Jesus. Covered by the blood of Jesus. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you will work a sovereign work in their hearts and lives right now to free them up from these problems, from these difficulties, from these challenges, whatever it is that is holding them back, because I believe it's holding them back. Lord, I just speak freedom right now to them in the name of Jesus. Be released right now. Let those things go. They don't matter. What matters is that you are crucified with Christ and that Jesus is really alive in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you for it now, Lord Jesus. Amen. I wonder, would you stand with me, please? I would like to repeat this verse. just sentence by sentence. And I want you to, in a moment, close your eyes. And I would like to invite you to repeat these sentences after me. And I'm praying right now that every one of us in this auditorium will be able to do that with conviction. Praise God. Praise God. If ever I've been aware of the Holy Spirit moving in a very, very specific way, it's right now. It's right now. He's closer to us than hands and feet. The atmosphere is filled with his presence. You are filled with his presence right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, this is the moment, folks. This is the most incredible statement that you will have made today. The most incredible, the most amazing, and I believe it's going to be impacting upon you. So here we are. Lord, help us as we make this declaration. Because the Lord knows whether we're dinkum or not. He knows whether we're acting or not. He knows whether we're sincere or not. So let's do it, folks, and let's do it sincerely. I suggest that we raise our hands as we do this. With our eyes closed, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give God an offering of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the honor that you put upon us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that you put upon us, Lord, that we can be crucified with Christ, and yet we live in the power of Jesus, and his life is within us, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us. And our bodies are the temple, the consecrated temples of the Holy Spirit to bring glory and honor to you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves right now to glorify you in our body and in our spirit, which belong to you. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 God bless you.